So here we are, the final day of the Conquering Cancer Summit. We thought a great ending to the summit would be to share with you three more inspiring cancer conquering stories, in addition to the many stories we've shared throughout the previous days of the summit. You've heard in day one how Elaine Gibson reversed cancer twice, including stage 4 lymphoma. You heard in day two how Dr. V reversed breast cancer using her 7 essential system. We shared with you in day 4 multiple case studies from Kelly Turner's research into radical remissions and what they all had in common when healing from cancer, along with Dr. Keisha's miraculous story of healing her own cancer through the power of forgiveness. And today we're going to share with you 3 powerful stories where people from various backgrounds use the integrative approach to help themselves heal. They used a combination of modern medicine and natural medicine to help their bodies fight off cancer. And that's what the summit is all about. It's about discovering the path that works best for you while utilizing the best of all medicine available to help you find your own path towards healing. So make sure to listen to every one of these stories as they each have their own experience that can help you discover how it's possible for you to prevent or reverse cancer. And if you happen to miss any of the Cancer Conqueror stories throughout the summit, make sure to order your empowerment package right now. That way you'll have lifetime access to every single interview and bonus from the summit that you can review again and again to help you improve your chances of not only preventing cancer, but conquering it once and for all. And when you order your empowerment package, you are supporting our mission to help put an end to the cancer pandemic. Your order supports 2 incredible nonprofits who are doing amazing work in natural and integrative cancer research and treatments for people around the world. And you're helping us continue to produce these events and bring this much needed information to you and more people everywhere. So click the order button now, grab your empowerment package, then come back and join me for these incredible cancer conquering stories. Today we're talking with Paul and Barbara Siegel. Paul has an extraordinary story to share with us about how he became cancer-free, and we're going to get into all the details about it and give you all some hope and inspiration that it is possible to reverse cancer, that it is possible to live cancer-free. Paul, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Nathan. Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so you reached out to me recently, Barbara, and let me know that, you guys have an incredible story. Paul, who had stage 3 colon cancer, I'll let you guys talk about it and how he's now cancer-free. And you said, hey, we'd love to talk with you more about it. I said, great, can you send me some reports, some scans? Let me take a look at everything. Let me know a little bit about the story. And we've just been talking for the last few minutes behind the scenes as well. And I think your story is one that a lot of people will look up to and be inspired by. So, let's start a little bit at the beginning, not the very beginning, but let's start with Paul. When were you diagnosed and what was the prognosis at the time?
I was diagnosed in August 16th of 16. And they said I needed surgery if I, they sent me home and told me if I started having problems when I went to the bathroom, like blood or black things, to come back quickly. Well, that happened this very same day that they sent me home. So I had to go back and they scheduled me for surgery. And then I had to wait for, I would say how many days?
It was a couple of days. By the time they got him into surgery, the surgeon told me that he was literally going to be joining the dearly departed within 2 to 3 days. It was a very dire situation. He had 4 units of blood. Of course, the surgery, going into this, he looked terrible. He was greenish gray.
I was losing a little weight.
And he was losing a lot of weight. You were losing a lot of weight.
Thought it was a little.
He lost a total of 80 pounds.
Wow. Yeah. What was that like for both of you to be diagnosed. Had you known that there were obviously issues going on, you had digestive issues, you had pain, what were some of the symptoms you were dealing with that led you into going and having the cancer discovered in the first place?
Well, I was having trouble going to the bathroom, you know, and there was pain on my right side. And, you know, it's just a guy that never really got sick through his whole life. It was kind of a blow that, you know, and you're kind of in denial and thinking that there's something wrong with you. You're trying to tell yourself there's nothing wrong with you, but yeah, that's like one of the biggest things. You need to go to the hospital and make sure you're okay, you know, by whatever means they want. You know, I did a colonoscopy there and they told me I was totally blocked.
Yeah, they could not pass the scope. The next thing they, you know, went through was the CAT scan. And by then it was looking pretty grim.
There's a pretty large tumor in the colon then? Is that what it was?
Oh,
softball size.
Yeah. Wow. Really large tumor in the right side of the colon. And usually from what I understand of colon cancer, if it's on the right side, the prognosis is much more grim. You know, I just remember when, you know, having the conversations with the doctor that, you know, it was almost like an out of body experience for me. We've been together since I was 17 years old and he was 21. So, I mean,
20.
We've spent the vast majority of our lives together. And, it was something that I wouldn't really wish anybody to ever have to go through. It was terrible.
It must have been really terrifying for you, Barbara. And you have a background in nursing, oncological nursing, right?
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts at the time?
To be honest with you,
she knows too much.
Yeah, my husband tells me I know too much. And, you know, the doctor was moving his mouth and I just kept thinking, he's going to die. He's going to die. I need to prepare myself. I need to prepare our children. I need to prepare our grandchildren. He's going to die. Wow. And I even had a conversation with one of the nurses in the unit that he was in. And, you know, And I don't remember exactly what she said, but I looked at her and I said, he's going to die.
I was the only one that thought I wasn't going to die. So,
So
you got to have the confidence too, that you're, you know, you can't be, I don't know what it was, but you got to have the confidence that you're going to make it too.
Yeah. I want to get into that, you know, the mindset and how important that is and what your mindset was like, Paul. Before we do, so you had surgery and then what happened? Surgery was successful. They removed the tumor.
And then all I could remember was my wife telling me, you better get up and go.
You need to get moving. Mm. Don't lay in that bed, you know, and he was a champion. He got out of that bed and he walked around the unit. He was out of the hospital in 3 days. We had the appointment at that moment scheduled with the oncologist. So we basically
started our research right there.
Yeah. But first I have to tell him that, you know, that appointment was like looming over our heads, you know, and I think we probably talked more in that month than we've talked in years, you know, with having kids and dogs and, you know, and just everything in life, you know, but it was him and me and the tumor, you know, and we talked and talked and talked. And he told me, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. People, everybody.
Don't want to do what?
The chemo.
Yeah.
When you went in for that appointment, they told you you needed to do chemotherapy.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it was like they didn't even really hear me. I told them I was feeling good, getting stronger. And she just told me well, you need 9 months of chemo and maybe 12. And that's all she had for me. She kind of insisted, told me I was a strong, I look like I'm strong. And, you know, I just was like, hearing all the advancements that you hear about on television to tell me that I need F5U after we did research came out in 1962.
Yeah.
And that's what they were trying to give me in 2016.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That was kind of, you know, and it's like I kind of really just didn't want to get my immune system wiped out.
And, you know, it really was like a
high
pressured sales pitch. Mm. When we were sitting in the oncologist's office, she kept changing the statistics. You know, at first it was 60%. You have a 60% chance of making it. And then she could see that we were a little hesitant. We were asking way too many questions. And suddenly, you know, it was like, oh, you have a 75% chance of making it with this chemo, Paul. And she was almost pressuring him for answer.
It would have put my
the port in
right now.
Yeah, they'll put the port in right now. All you have to do is say yes. And he was numb. He didn't, I mean, this was all coming at us like, you know,
this was three days after the surgery.
Actually, we met with the oncologist. It was almost a month later because
they said that you needed to do chemotherapy because the cancer was in
my lymph node.
Because it was in the lymph nodes. Right.
Okay. Right. Right. And, you know, she was very persistent. She was pressing him for an answer. Yes or no? Are you going to do chemo? Let's get this going. We can put the port in right now. You know, boom, 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 boom. And just everything moving so quickly. And I looked at her and I looked at him and I said, excuse me, you don't have to make a decision today. And I looked right at her, just letting her know, back off. This is my husband and it's not going to go this way.
Well, and then she actually said at the end, don't come back before it's too late.
Mm.
Or, you know, don't come back when it's too late. That's what she told me at the very end. And it was like, I was going to be determined to heal myself naturally with nutrition. And that's about all we did.
What led you to that? First I want to commend you for being strong in that really scary situation. You know, I want to encourage people tuning into this, make sure to watch module 2 as part of this masterclass, because in that masterclass, it's an entire module all about what you're talking about right now is how to take back your power, right? How to take back your power and educate yourself so that you're not pressured through fear into doing something that may not be the best decision for you. And I won't tell anybody that, you know, don't do chemotherapy, don't do radiation, exactly. Don't do surgery, right? Sometimes it can save your life, like the surgery helped you, right? But you felt chemotherapy was not right for you. But unfortunately, for people who don't educate themselves and learn how to take back their power and what I call accelerate your healer within, which is a massive mindset shift that's needed to help you have that belief and that confidence. And also, like you said, you have time. Right. You have time to research, to learn, to explore before. You don't have to be rushed into anything. So, you know, congratulations to you for taking that stand and saying, look, you know, we're going to research more. We're going to explore more. Don't pressure us into this, because that's all they know. Right. I mean, that's all they were taught. Most medical doctors in medical school, they're taught drugs, chemotherapy, radiation for cancer.
Right.
They're not taught nutrition. They're not taught holistic medicine. They're not taught, you know, botanical medicine. And they're actually, many of them are told, don't look into those things because they don't work.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, it's unfortunate because we know there are so thousands of peer-reviewed PubMed scientific studies on the effectiveness of natural medicines for everything from cancer to heart disease, inflammation, autoimmune disease, you name it, right? So going back to one, you know, taking back your power and deciding to become the researchers. What was it in your research that led you to saying, hey, we want to treat this naturally now. We want to treat this with nutrition and so forth.
Well, you know what? I mean, honestly, I agree with you completely. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. I'll say it again. Knowledge is power. And, you know, he was recovering. He had an extensive surgery. And, you know, through all of our conversations, it became readily apparent he was not going to do the chemo, you know. And if I could just interject here with, you know, people that we had told at that point, you know, oh, he's not going to do the chemo. People thought we were crazy. Mm-hmm. We were just completely crazy, you know. So it actually, when it came to, when push came to shove and it was just him and I doing everything that we did, it was just him and I. There was no team Paul. You know, I, like I said, he was recovering. I got on every website, everything that I could possibly find, you know, textbooks at the library, just, you know, I mean, I was functioning on pure adrenaline for probably a good month. You know, I read everything and anything. Sometimes I would read through the night when he was sleeping, you know, and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you know, I found some information and this is what we need to do. And I said, but it's going to involve you completely changing everything about your life, you know, prior
what you knew about eating.
Yeah. And, you know, prior to his diagnosis, you know, he was a meat and potatoes man. And, you know,
I grew up in Montana. I grew up in Montana on meat and potatoes. So I can relate.
Right. Right. So, you know, I mean, he would throw a football around with the kids, you know, but that was the extent of exercise. I mean, who had time to exercise, or so we thought, because, you know, he had to go to work. I had to go to work. Everybody had to go to work. And, I said, you know what, we need for you to live. We desperately need for you to live. So we changed everything about our lifestyle within like one day. We immediately went plant-based. We started eating 15 to 20 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. We bought a Vitamix so we could make that happen. And that's a lot of chewing. If, you know, if you're going to eat it the traditional, you know, way, that's a lot of chewing. So we got a Vitamix. We started making, you know, like a liquid salad, because basically that was all he could tolerate in the beginning. And, you know, so I would, you know, and sometimes we did make some pretty terrible stuff, I'll admit. But for the most part, he was a trooper. He choked it down. And,
there
you know,
is such a thing as too much garlic.
I've got my dad healing from an infection right now, and that's what I'm giving him, is lots of garlic, right? So it's nature's most powerful antibiotic, but he's like, God, that stuff is horrible.
I'll tell you what,
it is amazing if you want a good natural antibiotic, right? Without the consequences, garlic is the way to go. But anyway, keep going.
So anyway, you know, we would do the liquid salad and then we would have a fruit smoothie. Well, then I came across some very interesting research about the Chinese bitter melon. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's amazing. So, we were adding Chinese bitter melon to our, fruit smoothies, which were basically, we were using a lot of the lower glycemic, index fruits, if you will.
Yep.
And banana really covers the taste of the Chinese bitter melon because it is pungent. And
that's important to say right there, right? Is the even though you were adding fruits, you were blending them, so you're still getting the fiber, which is important.
Right.
That you don't juice fruits when you have cancer. That if you eat them or you blend them, right?
Right. Right. And you know, I mean, all that wonderful fiber, you know, I think that's what keeps us full.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
We joke around now. We're like, you know, we could probably skip a couple of days of eating because we're so full all the time, you know? But then, you know, we didn't do everything all at once. We would do the Chinese bitter melon for about a month. you know, and then take about a month off and then say move on to dandelions. Dandelions are remarkable. You know, people are killing these things right and left, putting weed killer on them. I'm like, no, don't do that. You know, they're absolutely amazing. We use bitter apricot seeds. He still eats bitter apricot mm-hmm. seeds at a maintenance dose. We use medicinal mushrooms, liposomal vitamin C. That's some remarkable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Boswellia, SEXT, essential oils, frankincense, lavender, and lemongrass. Lemongrass is amazing for cancer of the colon. Black seed oil, selenium, vitamin D, vitamin B12, name something.
No, essential oils in the bath, in a nice, you know, hot bath.
Oh, and I just remembered something too. This is really something that people think that we're kind of crazy when we tell them that we eat things that most people throw away.
Right.
But yeah, no, seriously, we do. We I have the Vitamix and we put the pits of the avocado in our smoothies. We are a big one. Actually, your dad, with his infection, he might do really well with this, the seeds of the papaya.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Rinds of watermelons, tops of strawberries, you name it. I mean, we eat garbage.
Well, and that's where a lot of the nutrients are, you know?
Exactly.
You throw away like the stems of the kale, right? People throw away the stems of the kale, and that's where, because it's bitter, but that's where most of your nutrients are, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So you transitioned to a plant-based diet. You were doing a lot of smoothies, green and fruit smoothies. You're doing a lot. When you said liquid salads, was this juice or was this smoothie also?
Oh, it was my Vitamix. So it's, you know.
So everything in the Vitamix, you didn't use a juicer at all. It was all Vitamix.
No. It kind of helps you from, it stops you from chopping everything up. So just chuck it in there and chop it a little.
And my fingers were like starting to bleed. You know, I mean, I still chop. I chop and chop and chop and chop.
And you were go ahead.
Go ahead.
Then you have to change your mindset of your whole life, of the way you ate and what you went to buy at the store. You buy fruits and vegetables and things that aren't processed.
No sugar.
How was that for you? What were some of the things about your mindset that you had to change that were difficult?
Well, meat. I mean, grilling things on the grill and, you know, now it's, you know,
slathering it with barbecue sauce and the whole bit, you know, and now it's like, you know, we use our grill. We have a beautiful grill, but we put things on it like, you know, say pineapple and peppers. That's really good.
Mushrooms? Really good. You do mushrooms, grilled mushrooms?
Yeah, those are amazing too. Yeah.
Shish kebabs? Absolutely. You do grilled shish kebabs, so like veggie shish kebabs? Yeah.
We were actually out yesterday. We're big hikers and we were hiking along and we saw a mushroom that was this big.
Wow.
And I'm like, God, I really wish I knew something about like wild mushrooms because, you know, I just wanted to eat it. We
can
buy them at the
store. Nothing to happen, you know.
But I did. I wanted to eat it.
Because you could pick the wrong one, even though it looks like the right one.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing if you're picking wild mushrooms. You got to go with an expert for a while until you really know. But they are amazing. I mean, if you look at the scientific research on mushrooms, you know, they have so many compounds that are known to be anti-cancer. Everything you've talked about, you know, are anti-cancer, have anti-cancer properties, anti-inflammatory properties, right? We know colon cancer, for example. I mean, that, and any cancer, it's a chronic inflammatory condition. So when you're doing things like lots of vegetables, lots of greens, lots of, you know, some fruits for sure, the herbs, the nutrients that you're adding in, the supplements, all those different kinds of things, they're really contributing to reducing inflammation, but they're also they're bringing hundreds, potentially thousands of phytonutrients into your body, which is helping your body heal so many mechanisms, right? To help heal the cancer, to help your lymphatic system, to help your digestive system, help your microflora and your gut, right? To balance and then be able to help your body basically heals. So how long was, diet, you cover a lot of that. What were some of the other lifestyle changes that you made?
He rebounds.
Yeah, I rebound just
a little about
every day now.
Okay.
Exercise. We go for walks, you know.
Well, we go for a little
bit. I mean, trying to keep active is, you know, so I'm getting up there.
We hike probably about 15 miles a week. Okay. In addition to everything else that we're doing. We have an amazing dog. He's an Australian Shepherd, and he's laying at our feet right now. But
I used to have an Aussie. They're amazing. Yeah.
He's ready to go for his walk after he's done sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, we're going to walk his legs off. The poor dog's going to be saying, no more. And I mean, they're really high energy dogs.
So 15 miles a week, are you hiking 5 days a week, 3 miles at a time? Or what does that look like?
Probably, yesterday we did 7 miles. Usually we hike, we try to do it in like two, you know.
Two longer hikes?
Yeah. We live in northeastern Ohio. We have some really amazing hiking areas around here.
Nice.
The Cuyahoga Valley National Park is amazing. The Buckeye Trail, you know, the Cleveland Metro Parks, they're all really, really amazing. And, you know.
And, you know, sometimes it's snowing or sleeting or.
Yeah, or raining.
So you have a rebounder and we have a treadmill.
And a treadmill.
So,
and,
you know, it's, you know.
How often do you rebound?
Every day almost.
Every day.
I would say I miss a day here and there if I hurt an ankle or something. But, you know, just every day. 10 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
I'm trying to get him to do yoga with me, Nathan, but
it's not for him. Not there yet. Maybe one day.
Not there yet.
Yeah. Qigong also. Yeah. I've done lots of Qigong and yoga over the last 15 years, and they're both extraordinary. Yeah.
I love Qigong.
What about hiking 15 miles a week, rebounding just about every day? Any other specific exercise things that you've done?
Just regular calisthenics, you know.
Sit-ups, is that pretty regular?
Weight, little bit of weights, you know. Nothing.
It's, oh, yeah. We have to.
I'm not working out to, you know, make the team or anything. So. Yeah.
But, you know, it becomes a priority. You know, yeah. Like I said before, you know, our lives were, you know, I have to go to work. We have to run the kids here, you know, there, wherever, you know, but and our lives are still absolutely maniacal at times, but it's a priority. This is, I guess, what I'm saying, like with the nutrition and everything that we do, this comes first, you know, and we have found some really creative ways to make sure that we're staying on track.
How do you do that? How do you keep yourselves on track?
Well, you know what? We wake up every day and, you know, we know it's a choice. We're making a choice that we you know, we're going to keep him cancer free. He's going to live, you know, and we're going to move mountains and remove any obstacle that we can in order to see that through. So, you know, yesterday was a really, really crazy day. And, you know, sometimes it's a matter of taking the smoothie on the go, you know, but it's not like, well, we can go here and do this and do that and just ignore, you know, whatever. No, that doesn't happen. You know, it becomes a priority. It is our priority. Health is our priority.
And that's what it takes. I mean, that's such an important thing that you just mentioned there, because when it becomes your priority, because so many people say, I don't have time for exercise. I don't have time to learn how to cook or how to go plant-based. I don't have time for hiking 15 miles a week or rebounding and working out every day. And the reality is we all have time. It's just, are we willing to make the time, right? Are we
willing to
make it a priority, you know? And once it is a priority, like you said, you just don't miss it, right? You don't miss it. It's like, nope, I'm not watching TV until I get my workout in, or I'm not doing this until I have my smoothie. It's like those, the things that are less priority, which often are the things that are just time sucks anyway, like watching TV or just, you know, sitting, not doing much or whatever it might be, sleeping in or something, even though sleep's really important, right?
Right.
But, you know, once you make it a priority, then you just don't miss it. I mean, I'm the same way with exercise, with working out. It's like once it became a priority, it doesn't matter what's going on. Unfortunately, sometimes I have really long days, right? And usually I try to work out by 4:30 in the afternoon. And sometimes I don't get to it till 7 o'clock. I don't like working out that late. And it'd be easy to say, nah, I'm not going to do it today, but it's a priority. So I do it anyway. Right.
Right. It's sort of like craving kale. You never thought in a million years you crave kale. And now it's like, get me some kale. You know what I mean?
Well, let's talk about what that is. Right. Because your taste buds change, your microflora change, which are the things that either are saying, give me more of that meat, give me more of those French fries, give me more of that hamburger, right? Which you're craving those things which are causing disease, or give me more of that kale, give me more of that banana, give me more of those berries, right? Which is, that's literally, you know, we have trillions and trillions of cells inside of us, living cells that are helping our body determine what it wants and what it needs. They're communicating to us, right? Because you cleaned out your body and switched your diet, then you had new microflora that are saying, feed me more of this. I like it. It's doing good, you know?
Right. Yeah. And put some turmeric on it and cayenne pepper and, you know, black pepper.
So what about your, you know, kind of mental, emotional side of things, spiritual side of things? Were there any kind of changes you made there? Did you guys implement more prayer or meditation? Did you have any deeper spiritual insights or practice? Have you done any other kind of mental, emotional work at all?
Just really, you know, mentally, you know, I don't know how to say it, but just being mentally strong. I mean, it wasn't much spiritual things. It was determination to get better, you know.
I think for me, maybe it's a little different because, you know, like I said, when we would tell people, oh, you know, we're not doing chemo, we're healing his cancer naturally, you know, and then there was like this awkward pause. And then I started realizing that maybe, I don't know, for lack of a better word, were people distancing themselves from me because they thought I was crazy. You know, so it started where I kind of had to go within and find my strength, you know. And like I said, you know, I do a lot of yoga. I do yoga every day. I don't do Qigong every day, but I probably should. But, you know, I guess, you know, we're not, I don't know.
My work, when I work out, it's like a meditation to me.
Exactly.
And then, you know, like when you're done and it's like you sit down and you feel pretty good.
I mean, like hiking becomes a moving meditation.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, people that don't do it, do it. I mean, you need to do it. You need to get out there and just, that's where I guess we find our
solace. There's a method to everything we do. I mean, I don't just jump around on my trampoline to jump. It's trying to get your lymph nodes juices going. You know what I mean? There's always something that motivates me. I mean, you read something, you know, tomatoes are cancer fighting. You read that and it's like you put it in your head that, oh, I'm going to do this, this, and this because they're all cancer fighting.
Yep.
When you're eating your food.
Yeah. So you're talking about understanding the reason why you're doing things, right? It's like I'm very much that way. I think a lot of people can benefit from being that way, is understanding the why. Like if someone just tells me, yeah, go eat kale. I'm like, I don't want to eat kale. Why would I eat kale? Well, kale has these anti-cancer properties, it helps you live longer, it's got good, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the why, you understand more about the why, okay, I can start adding in some kale, right? And so it sounds like both of you not only got deep into educating yourselves about the whys and the whats and the hows, but it sounds like you still continue to do that even after, I don't think we've mentioned we talked offline, but I don't think we've mentioned it yet. So on all of this, you know, diet and lifestyle shifts and mindset of determination and plant-based diet and exercise, how long was it from when you after surgery, and they said we need to do chemotherapy, right? Because it's spread to your lymphs and your lymph nodes. How long was it on these lifestyle changes that then you got a clean bill of health that you were shown cancer free?
Less than a year.
Wow.
And the readers in the CAT scan place I went, they looked like they seen a ghost.
He could literally see them sitting at their machines. And when he walked through, he told me that they like turned their heads and they were looking at him because they knew the diagnosis and they were just expecting to find something horrific. And there was nothing there. There was nothing there.
Wow.
You know, but to this day, and it will be 5 years in August, we maintain the lifestyle that we initiated way back when. And I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, I really wouldn't have it any other way. And I have to tell you that, like, you know,
Paul, are you missing steaks? Or do you want steaks again? Or
you used to have them on Sunday, but you know, not really, because it's like she'll make some bean soup, and you can't tell that there's
You can do amazing things with lentils.
Yes,
and bean soup, and you know, it's
unbelievable. It's very satiating, and Paul, a plant-based diet is really satiating. Yep. Yep.
And, you know, my daughter and her husband are both plant-based. My other son is plant-based. I have one that's a little resistant, but he eats a lot of things. And he's like, Mom, I don't want to know what's in here. I'm like, I'd be willing to tell you. But he loves it. He loves it. He's just not ready to cross the bridge yet. You know, he's just not ready. He'll get there.
Yeah. So you said the thing I love about what you just said was, you know, and this is what like module 8 in my masterclass is all about, is how to make it last, right? How to create this holistic, personalized plan for health and healing, and then how to make it last. It's one thing, which is extraordinary what you've done in less than a year, actually, you know, have a clean scan and show that you've been cancer free. Unfortunately, after a couple of years, in a lot of cases, some people go back to the lifestyle and they go, oh, okay, I'm cancer free now. I can go back to what I was doing before, not realizing that those were the things that were contributing to the cancer. And then the cancer comes back with a vengeance, right? Because they don't maintain the new lifestyle that is what helped them heal. And yet it sounds like you've been doing that for the past, what, 4 years now? Four plus five years? And are you continuously educating yourselves and learning and doing new things as well? Or you kind of stayed the same?
And it's been like 5 years since I threw the sodas out.
Mm. But no, we are.
Sugary sodas. Diet doesn't matter. Diet pop doesn't matter.
Right.
Get rid of the sugary.
Get rid of it all. Drink water. But no, I've always been very much into education and reading and, you know, and I read quite a bit. And I think sometimes he just wants to say, stop that, you know, just don't talk about that for just 5 minutes, turn off the switch, you know, but it doesn't happen. And I mean, we're still together like 40 years later. So, you know, I mean, obviously he puts up with it, but you know, but
well, it's a good thing he does. It's a good thing you listen to your wife, huh, Paul?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the biggest thing is to change over what you're eating. And, you know, if you want to remain cancer-free, and you got to throw the sugar out too. That was a little hard for me. I got a sweet tooth, so. Well, yeah. Not missing it.
What are some things that you enjoy that replaces that sweet tooth? What are some good?
Homemade granola. And you know what? Yesterday when we were out on the trail, I ate the last of the granola and I have no more granola to replace it with just yet. So I have to get busy, but you know, yeah, we, everything that we eat is just, has amazing like nutrition in it. You know, we do have say little bits of maple syrup, you know, that kind of stuff. But I mean, nothing that's, you know.
Yeah, the
sugar.
I can't say the name, but the regular syrup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's terrible.
It's, you got to throw that out too, because it's got corn syrup in it.
Yeah, right.
So, but it's fake syrup, yeah. Right? You're talking about some probably organic, like grade B, yes. Pure maple right. Syrup, for example.
Pure maple syrup
is all we get.
The nice thing is when you clean out your digestive system, I've experienced this myself, right? My whole family's experienced it. Once you clean out your digestive system and you stop putting in all those fake sugars, which we know that excessive sugar contributes to cancer, it feeds cancer, right? So once you cut that out, it's like one, you stop craving the sugar as much. I mean, I know my sugar cravings basically. Maybe took me a year. I'm not sure how long, but they basically, for the most part, went away. And then two, when they do come, which I still crave sugar once in a while, right? It's like there are so many healthier options. I'll eat a banana with, and I'll put some pecans, like I'll chop up a banana and an apple, put in some coconut yogurt, right? That doesn't have sugar in it. So sugar-free coconut yogurt, and then put a little maple syrup or a little honey in there. Right,
or some coconut.
Just a little bit of sweetness. You don't need like 30 grams of sugar from fake, you know, high fructose corn syrup anymore. You know, you get 5 grams or 6 grams, 7 grams from a little bit of honey or something, and it like it does the trick, right?
Right. You know, and if you do eat something, you know, that has a lot of sugar or you know whatever in there, it's like an instant buzz or something. It's terrible, you know. It just goes right to you, and you can't do it.
Well, listen, guys, Paul, Barbara, thank you so much for agreeing to do this, for sharing your story. I know it's going to reach and impact and inspire a lot of people. You know, thank you for being a beacon of hope and for being willing to share this story with others. I think this is, you know, it's incredible what you've done, and truly a proof that it is possible that, you know, when you change diet, lifestyle, mindset, even environment, you know, your chances of becoming cancer-free absolutely go up. But even more importantly, your quality of life goes up, right? I mean, that's the thing, as you get cleaner and healthier, it's like your quality of life goes up, your energy goes up, your mental clarity goes up, you feel better about what you're doing. And you're both, you know, a great example of that. So thank you so much for being here and sharing this with all of our audience.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.